Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
Coming back, second half, the program is live. We'll talk about recruiting in just a moment with Ari Wasserman from The Athletic. There's a lot of movement with Georgia picking up a commitment from the number one player in the country. That in a minute, but first, what about Brent Venables after what can only be described as a disastrous first season at OU? Can he turn it around as the Sooners get ready for the SEC a year from now? Ari, thank you. I know you just did this piece after visiting with Venables. You've taken a good long look at the former Clemson assistant, former OU assistant, I should say, as well. Good afternoon, and what did you find in visiting with Venables and OU?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on, Paul. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. You know, it's like a personal conflict for me because, as I've said on this show and every other walk of my life, how important stacking, you know, five-star after five-star is, like, when you look at the way that Alabama and Georgia's classes are assembled. And, you know, every team that's competing for a national championship in a serious level on an annual basis, you got to recruit at a certain level. And Oklahoma just did that to a certain extent in the 2023 class, signing the number four overall class in the country. And I believe they had 3 5-star prospects. And, you know, it's looking good at Oklahoma. But when you compare that class to, say, Alabama's class last year, which had nine 5-star prospects and an 18 top 100 players, it's still a pretty far gap between those two. Now, obviously, that was Venables' first year, you know, as the head coach there, and you know, he did a really good job, and there's a lot from a recruiting standpoint to be excited about. It's kind of this interesting, you know, conflict for me between thinking that you have to have a certain number of players that are in the top 100 on your roster to compete for a national championship. And then visiting with a coach who was a part of the one exception to the rule, which was, you know, Dabo Sweeney and Clemson and what Brent Venables helped build there. And, you know, his background with Bill Snyder at Kansas State and, of course, Bob Stoops, and then on to Dabo, who, in my opinion, is the only person that's really converted the program from being solid to the elite of the elite. You know, it's this weird intersection between, do you have to recruit like Georgia and Alabama to beat them when you get to the SEC, or can you do this combination between, you know, elite level top end talent, but also top level evaluating with certain types of personalities that fit your core message and your values. So it'll be a very interesting experiment with Oklahoma as we watch, you know, Brent work there and build the program. If his vision and what he knows works based on his experience can actually put Oklahoma not only in a position to win the Big 12 in their final year here, but also to beat the big dogs of the SEC when that inevitably comes in a year from now.
Talking to Ari Wasserman, Ari, let me get to the other part of this equation, and that's where the real winning comes in, and that's in recruiting. We had the opportunity a week ago to sit down with Kirby Smart right before he got the big commitment from the number one quarterback in next year's class. So as you look at the rankings, according to ESPN, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, LSU, Florida State, Notre Dame, Tennessee, Penn State, Florida, and South Carolina, Oklahoma and Alabama missing from that at the moment. Let's start with Georgia. Realize it's not signed yet. There's some limitations into what we can say, but everybody knows he committed. He announced it on social media. How impactful? It's hard to. I can't believe I'm asking you about an impactful recruit for Georgia, considering they get so many. But how impactful is this quarterback to what they're hoping to do down the road?
Well, it's impactful from the sense that Georgia has a legitimate chance to sign the greatest class of all time this year. If you go back and you look at the class that currently holds that distinction, that's the class that A&M put together a few years ago that, you know, had a bunch of really good players in it. Georgia's got a stacked state like they always do, and, you know, they're going out and signing the number one player in the country. When you look at the numbers of who's available and who's in their class already, it seems like that's going to be an inevitability in terms of how it all shapes up. So I never concern myself with, where teams are ranked in May, because as you know quite well, that commitments will come in and those will shift quite a bit between now and the end of the year. But really, I think that the commitment, though, is certainly impactful for Georgia. To convince the number one player and quarterback in the country to come to your school, despite the fact that you haven't had a first-round pick at that position since Matthew Stafford in 2009, is a whole other discussion that I wrote a column about yesterday, which was, if Nebraska can't win this recruitment with the personal connections and, you know, all the things that they had at play, Matt Rhule in year one and all the stuff that Nebraska has to sell, and a number one player who lives across the country is going to choose Georgia basically because of the momentum that they have and who they are as a program, and you have this talent concentration at the top of the list, with the Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgias of the world, what are we ever going to do in this sport to flatten the curve of where all the players are going? Because they're programmed to go to those places because they think there's a, you know, that's the path of least resistance between their college career and the NFL, and how other teams like Nebraska and, you know, middle tier programs that are probably on that same plane, how can they get these guys? Because it's not just a influential commitment for Georgia, who has all the commitments in the world, and it's frankly kind of boring because we know what they are and who they're going to be. You know, how can the other teams in this sport even compete? When is this game going to ever be more complex than, you know, picking the national championship comes out of a group of five schools? You know, that to me is what I would take away from this, because, Georgia getting a five-star quarterback, you know, added to the list of the other five-star quarterbacks and top 100 players that, you know, make up the majority of their roster.
And that's where I want to go next, Ari, because we've seen this 2 years ago. It was A&M, and last year Alabama said, okay, we can do this too. And I know we're right smack in the middle of May, and a lot of this will be determined later on. But May is a momentum month, though, and when players see what this individual from Arizona did yesterday, how does it impact them? And you mentioned the class. Is it in comparison to last year or in comparison to A&M? Because we're talking about, in recent years, two of the best classes of all time.
Yeah, we're comparing, Georgia's class to that A&M class. Because when it's all said and done, I mean, listen, we're in May and Georgia already has five-star commitments. I believe that no other team in college football has more than two. That to me is remarkable. And if you go look at all the players in the state of Georgia and, you know, in the South that are in the top 100 who have yet to issue a commitment, it's going to get lopsided again. So it's like the cool stories like the A&M from 2 years ago and, you know, other schools who are trying to build something, they run into these super teams that don't recruit this way 1 year or 2 years. They do it every single year. And, you know, you talk about NIL and you talk about transfers and all the things that are changing in the sport. But the fact of the matter is, Paul, that the top 100 players in the country are pre-programmed right now to consider and ultimately choose, for the most part, one of those five schools. And those are the same five schools that win national championships every year. And like that to me is, how do you break that? Because parity doesn't come from a rule change, and parity has never really been a part of the game. And maybe the answer to the question is it's just never going to happen. But in a show about the SEC that has a lot of prideful, you know, programs, and in college football, there's a lot of fans in this sport who root for teams that, like it or not, and I get hate mail for this, have 0% chance of winning a national championship in the foreseeable future. And like that is the entire sport right there. And all these other things are interesting to talk about, conference realignment, NIL, all that stuff. It's fun. We hours and hours are consumed discussing all this. But the number one issue, if you are a person for parity, is and will always be until it's fixed, the percentage of elite level players going to the same small sect of schools and those schools running the sport and everybody else picking up the scraps.
I'll act like I'm out somewhere in the hinterlands watching this and getting angrier in the moment, in the minute, especially in Nebraska, where, as you said, there was tremendous connection from a legendary standpoint, from a family standpoint on the staff, and then Matt Rhule. So if you're out there in Lincoln, Nebraska right now, just, you know, throwing your corn cob against the TV, why is Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, maybe Michigan, why are these schools continuing to do this? I know there's a pretty good answer. I think I know what it is, but I want you to answer it because you're the one who has really opened up the dirty little secret of college football, that it's not changing anytime soon.
Yeah, well, you had my colleague on the show a few weeks ago. We ran a story called Three Star U, where we went up and added. It took hours and hours and hours to add it up, but we all added up every single 3-, 4-, and 5-star prospect that signed with the program during the previous decade, and then, you know, crunched the numbers of, you know, who did the best with producing draft picks with those players. And what you'll find is that there really is no correlation between draft rate and 5-star prospects. It's about a 50-50 proposition, you know, which I was lower than I expected it would be. And it doesn't matter where you go. If you're a 5-star prospect, you are a physical freak that can do things athletically that other people can't do. And that happens to be the most desirable thing that NFL draft analysts and scouts value. So you could be a 6'5", 320-foot, 5-pound lineman who runs a 5-second 40, and you could go play at Podunk State. It doesn't matter. You're going to get drafted. But there is this idea in the minds of these players, it's kind of like the NBA, where you want to play with certain people and you want to go to the places that are cool. And, you know, Georgia and Alabama and these schools that we keep mentioning have a certain infrastructure of, you know, coaching and facilities and traditions of winning and the laundry lists of NFL draft picks, where the notion is that if you are one of the select few players that fits that category of elite, that you belong at those places because those are the places that take you to the NFL. And that's true, but how do you break through that? Like, if you are a Nebraska fan right now and you are excited about the Matt Rhule era, who I think is going to shower Nebraska with competence and actually make them a good program, what are you supposed to do about that? How do you – they have the most compelling sales pitch they will ever have, maybe for the rest of the world, for the rest of the history of the world, with the number one overall player and quarterback that they'll ever have, and they couldn't get it done because Georgia's sales pitch was more compelling. It makes you almost feel hopeless when it comes to other teams and other programs at similar positions who will come into similar recruiting battles and end up losing, the same way it happened last year with Caden Proctor when he signed with Alabama and Iowa. And it continues over and over again. And the saddest part about it, Paul, not to be a doomsday person, but it takes – not one or two 5-star prospects to fix your problem. It takes like 20 of them. So if it's hard enough to win one with all the advantages of the world from a sales pitch standpoint, how the heck can you possibly build a roster that can compete with these juggernauts? You can't. And that's why the national championship game was 500-0, because they physically cannot overcome what the other team has on their roster. And because that team has all that on their roster, they will have more attractive NFL draft output, thus perpetuating the notion that you have to go there to be a draft pick. It's like an unsolvable problem, and it makes, like, if you're a college football fan of a team that's not one of those teams, you could stare at your ceiling all night trying to figure it out, and you can't figure it out. It's impossible. So, not to rant, but the last thing I'll say is, and I got a lot of comments like this on my column about this predicament of, well, college football changes every 15 years. The way something is now is not the way it's always going to be. If you get the right coach, you can fix it. And throughout the history of college football, that's always been the case. But right now, the numbers, the last 15 years, even since Saban took over, and it gets perpetually worse every year, the numbers of how stacked the deck is from a talent standpoint between the haves and the have-nots is so incredibly lopsided that you can't compare it to any other, period of time in this sport. So, you know, you could just suspend your belief and say, well, one day things are going to change. But I am a person who likes to understand and discuss the facts. And I literally have no idea how we're ever going to flip this notion and this pattern on its back and start changing the paradigm of the sport. Like, maybe it'll be Nick Saban retiring or something else happening. But right now, the trend is so deep and so profound, like there's no end to this in the foreseeable future.
Nobody better than Ari Wasserman. Ari, thank you. We always appreciate your time. And what an incredible conversation about where college football is and where it's going. And in the short term, once again, the big comment that he said that will resonate around college football, Georgia has a chance to sign the greatest class of all time after the number one quarterback committed to the Dogs. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and let's check in with Larry up next. Larry, what you got?
Well, yeah, man, I saw that 24 class. Yeah, what happened to 23? You know, Paul, it takes money to buy whiskey, not talk, okay? That BS don't
Larry,
buy
I think on National Signing Day, we spent a lot of time talking about Alabama's class. Now we're moving on to the next class. You're living in the past.
Right. But let's say this, Paul. We got a quarterback coming for 24 named Saban. We ain't worried about we're in 23. Okay, we're getting Georgia players right now. We got one that's played 35 games for Georgia that's out of Alabama. Okay, we got the number one running back from Georgia that Kirby Durham couldn't get. Okay, and we're going to win the national championship this year. And then what? But, you know, I mean, I'm just amazed at how Kirby Smart gets that schedule. You probably helped on that, didn't you?
I did. In fact, I leaned on the SEC to give Kirby, who has the best team again, the easiest possible schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, Paul.
This is a man who has not lost a regular season game since the 21 season?
Paul. You ain't nothing about Alabama.
2020.
You're Georgia dog now.
2020 is the last time the Dogs lost a regular season game.
Can you bark for me?
Can I what?
Bark.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Do the Georgia.
Well, Larry, why are you so defensive about Alabama?
I'm not defensive.
I thought Alabama owned college football.
Well, our 1,600 pounds offensive line just beats that defensive peewee line of Georgia to the ground. we're going to run that young in there, that running back we just got, and we're going to run the other running back till they can't breathe. We're going to kick their ass this year. We got a payback for them.
Larry, I heard that last year. Last year was the revenge tour. I haven't heard what Alabama's come up with.
No, we had a bad year. That's fine. Go ahead. That's
what about the year before?
We love to hear that BS talk. Man, go ahead on. But I'm telling you, and you know it, Kirby knows it, and the world knows it, and them Georgia puppies know it. So y'all get ready, get that ass kicked up over them shoulders. You're going to look like humpback. Yeah,
Larry, I heard the exact same thing before the national championship game where Georgia beat you guys by 13 points or 15. I don't remember what it was. I heard the same thing all last year. Larry, you ever heard the old Texas expression?
I am interested in Texas. I'm interested in Alabama. I'm interested in what we got this year.
No, the expression is all hat, no cattle, Larry. You have nothing. You have nothing but hot air. Hot air, Larry, is all you've got. We've already heard about the Alabama Revenge Tour.
We got three players in the first round.
I don't. In the NFL. Well, you had the so, and what did that do for you?
Yeah, you can't even tell. You're stuttering, Paul.
I'm not stuttering at all. I'm asking you, what did those top two players do for you?
I'm stuttering. I got that ass. You know it.
Larry.
And Georgia knows it. That's why they ain't saying nothing, because they can't. Because they got to just shut up and they're going to take
Larry,
it.
Larry, Georgia is playing for a three-peat. What are you guys playing for?
You watch. Hey, I put our record against Georgia's. Kirby's only got to win five more national championships. That'll be easy, won't it, Paul?
Well, he's also 20 years younger than your coach.
Don't make it, Bubba. Bye.
I genuinely feel sorry for Larry.
You dogs ain't gonna make it.
Oh, you're still there? We'll be right back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and it's great to have all of you here. After that, some more guests to come a little bit later on. Let's check in with Dave in New Jersey. Go right ahead.
Paul, good to hear from you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I don't know if you remember my story, but I'm the guy who actually I'm put in a wheelchair as a quadriplegic a couple years ago.
I do remember your story, and I'm so glad you called back, Dave.
I'm enjoying your show. I just want to let you know, I've been spending the spring. It's finally nice up here. I've been wheeling around the softball field to Madison. And I just spent the weekend with 70 young ladies who are trying for our travel softball teams.
Oh, that sounds like a blast.
It is. So tonight and tomorrow, we're going to pick my 10U. I get the 10U B team. They're like more aspiring. They have more aspiration than skills. But I find that 9 and 10-year-olds don't care their coaches in a wheelchair. And I get to spend the next couple months helping them improve their confidence and competence, teach them how to learn from all the failures, because you fail all the time in softball, and learn how to love the game. So I'm really looking forward to getting out of the house now and spend time with a bunch of kids.
Well, that is absolutely fantastic. Dave, I appreciate you sharing that story. When does all this begin?
Well, we pick them in the next couple days. The rec season finishes up in the next 2 weeks. In mid-June, we start practicing. We play a summer ball June to the end of July. They get a couple weeks off in August. And then we play fall ball in September till the end of October. And then we give them the break for the winter.
You've got a busy couple of months ahead.
It is. I one question for you. And this is kind of, you know, us Tennessee alumni, we're not used to what's happening right now after the last decade and a half. And I'm curious, which coach do you think is going to give us our next national championship? Do you think it'll be Karen and the girls' softball, baseball, Kelly and the girls' basketball, Rick and the men's basketball, or Josh and football? We have like almost an embarrassment of riches. But I realize how hard it is to get that final over that hump. Who do you think is going to bring us our next championship?
I think it would be I'm going to gamble on Vitello because should have done it last year, and I just think playing in the league they're so well positioned. In you know the softball is a little bit different. They've had a great season, but there are two or three teams that I'm not sure Tennessee can get by in softball. Baseball is a little more of a wild card sport.
It is. I've been enjoying the Lady Vols for that. I got to know Karen a little bit.
You tell me. Because I don't know that game as well, but I do know there are a few schools that are extremely difficult to deal with in the tournament.
It is. Oklahoma is the 800-pound gorilla. That's going to be hard to get by. But I, after watching the Lady Vols for the last couple weeks, I got to know Karen a bit over the last decade at coaches' conferences. My money's on her, and I'm hoping for the next couple of weeks we're going to get to watch the Lady Vols. And my hope is they're setting the table for a wonderful fall and then maybe a real exciting winter. But again, it's nice to be a Tennessee Vol right now with all our coaches and the success we have, even though sometimes I think we take these guys and ladies for granted, but they're all doing a nice job right now.
Well, Dave, it's a pleasure to hear from you. I hope you're right. By the way, my prognosticating is not very good, so I will defer to you.
Yeah, well, take care, and I will continue to enjoy your show every afternoon. You're such a nice break from all the other craziness in the world.
Thank you. You be well. Take care of yourself. Great to hear from you. Steve is up next. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hey, Paul. Before I get started, my wife's a big dog fan, Miss Mary. She says, "Go Dogs! Georgia's winning a three-peat." So
now,
take that, Larry.
Apparently, she did not listen closely to Larry a minute ago, who declared the Dogs dynasty over.
Exactly. Hey, but I'm going to upset a bunch of your Texas A&M fans today, if that's okay with you.
I never try to get in the way of a caller.
All right. So check this out, Paul. My dad graduated from A&M in 1970. He passed away this past year. It was a hard year for us. But I've been going to A&M games since I could walk. The problem with A&M right now, it's not a coach, it's not the resources, it's not the money. You know that. It's a culture problem there. And when you ask Lucci, next time he comes home, and he won't admit this, there's a certain group called the BMA, the Big Money Aggies there, that control everything that goes on. And a lot of them are on the Board of Regents and members of the 12th Man Foundation. They can't get out of their way of the old traditions. When athletes go there, they're still rooted in the 1960 all-male military college. That's not going to work anymore. They'll never win a national championship by trying to float their old traditions. Not going to happen, Paul.
Steve, answer me this, because I know some of these people. And I'm trying to understand how this group of very proud Aggies are affecting what happens on the football field.
They affect everything. They won't allow female cheerleaders. They alienate a lot of the student body. A&M is still considered racist by a lot of people, Paul.
Steve, hold on a second. I'll defer to you on the cheerleaders, although I'm pretty sure I have been around some Texas A&M cheerleaders who are not male.
They aren't on the football field, Paul.
At any time during the game?
No. They're only the male yell. They're only yell leaders on the field during a football game. The females are only allowed to cheer at basketball games.
Okay. Well, I know I when I've done shows out there, I've met the cheerleaders, so I'm basing it on that. I can't argue with you because I am not well versed on who's on the field and who's not, other than the coaches and players. I mean, what you say is interesting, but Texas A&M a year ago had the best recruiting class in college football history. So how can
and
you?
How many of them transferred, Paul?
Well, that had a lot to do with the play on the field that year. But if what you are saying is so accurate about all these things, which I quite frankly have never heard mentioned in recent times, then why did they sign there in the first place?
So answer me this, Paul, because of the money. So answer me this all right? They've won one Big 12 championship. They haven't sniffed an SEC title. All right? They have all the resources, all the money. It's the biggest mystery in the land why they can't get over the hump.
Well, I disagree. I disagree with you. And some of this is personal experience. I had the opportunity in September to go to a dinner in Dallas the night before the Arkansas game, which I was asked to speak by some friends. And everyone was there. I'm talking chancellor, president, met Bob Jordan,
sure.
The president of Southwest Airlines. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I found some of them to be
my dad rubbed elbows with them. Well, I know exactly.
I mean,
I'm
not trying to say that 3 hours in a back room at a Dallas steakhouse is enough to give me the knowledge that you have. But I've also been around a number of them as well. With the former Students Association. And I just have never seen what you're talking about. I have never seen any of these elements.
I feel like I know these people pretty well. So, Paul, it's something you really can't put into true words, all right? You can ask a Texas fan about it, and they kind of know where I'm coming out.
I don't want to ask a Texas fan. There are some fan bases I don't know very well, but I really feel comfortable in knowing the people that you're talking about. I know John Sharp, who's the chairman of the Board of Trustees. I think the president is an outstanding woman. I've been around her a number of times.
No, listen.
You're talking about board, but you just castigated a large group of people. And because you mentioned the Board of Trustees and you mentioned the power brokers, and I've never seen that. In fact, you mentioned Texas. Texas has had more incidents in recent years from a public relations standpoint on the issue that you talked about, if you go back to Charlie Strong's hire, than A&M has ever had in modern time. Listen, I hate to run. We're up against the break. We will be back right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Oh, boy. How about Rally Cap Sunday? Getting you ready. Brian is up next. Hello, Brian. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. How you doing, sir?
Hey there. Thank you.
Man, I'm going to tell you what, you have made my afternoons awesome.
Thank you.
I am an Alabama transplant. I've been in Alabama for 12 years. I now live in Muscle Shoals. But every day at 2 o'clock, dude, I turn your show on, man, and you are a football man.
Thank you so much.
And I want to tell you something. The recruiting guy you had on there was talking all that about how, you know, SEC gets all these. You know what I'm saying? Do you want to? If you're a football player, you want to win football, right?
Of course.
So whether these guys go here, there, nor whether the Big Ten, because I'm going to tell you, it's all about winning. So, and you are a winner, and I just want to thank you for all the hours that I've spent listening to you, and this is the first time that I've ever had opportunity to talk to you.
Brian, it has been our pleasure, and I hope there are many, many more. You be well. You take care of yourself. Let's go to AC in Canada next.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you, AC.
Absolutely. You know, I like my kids when they call me up, because they want to acknowledge their baby daddy, AC. That's the Matt in San Antonio or any sore loser. There's no more 12th man, because ladies, they do much better than your 12th man. And let's face it, Texas A&M, they ran from Big 12 because they were afraid of Texas and Oklahoma. They just ran all the way to SEC. They thought they're going to be winning the SEC championship. They thought they're going to win the national championship. And guess what? Here comes Texas and Oklahoma. They're going to snatch it right away from you. So I guess Big 10 will be available. Big 12 should be available, et cetera, et cetera. So all you're going to do, Matt, and the Texas A&M Aggies, you're going to run, 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 but you cannot hide the competition. Might as well acknowledge your boy AC as your tribal chief. San Antonio, any sort of loser out there. I took it 2 years off from the station because I had to level up myself. I worked on my game, Matt. I had better promo than your Texas A&M has ever won a single damn championship since 1939. But guess what? I love you, Mr. Feinbaum. You can hang up on me. Holla.
Matt, you there?
AC, that's your combat. You know what? You like that other hypocritical to call us racist. Texas is more racist than it and than ever has been. They've never been racist that much. They've had a few incidents, not compared to Texas. AC, shut your stupid mouth, man. You're a stupid moron, man.
Rusty is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Rusty.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
We are doing okay. Thank you for checking in.
I'm a little bit behind the topics on your show, and I listen to it, or actually on my satellite radio every day.
Thank you.
But I'm going back to the confusion and the nonsense in the ACC. And I'm a huge sports fan, but I do have a resolution. I think we bring in and make it to 20 teams, like the Big 12 is going to fix to be doing. And I think we bring in the Carolina team, the Tar Heels, for baskets. I think we bring in the Clemson Tigers for football. We got Florida State hanging out that's asking to get out. And you got them right down the street with the Gators. And there's not too many people know that Georgia Tech was one of the original SEC members. They don't bring them much in the sports world, but
well,
they
Rusty,
do bring
I think you have some really good ideas. The only problem is it's fiscally impossible right now, based on what David Hale told us in relation to getting those teams out of their agreements. I mean, these are all good ideas. I will also say if the ACC ever breaks up, Georgia Tech is nowhere near the list of schools that are coming back to the
ACC. I understand that. Ask
the leaders at Georgia Tech how that move out of the SEC worked out.
It didn't work. Nor Tree Lane. I do have one thing I'd like to follow up with, and I'll hang up.
Sure.
Can we show some love to the Arkansas Razorbacks?
Rusty, we are about to. We're heading to Arkansas in mere moments to get an update. Thank you for the suggestion. Let's check in with Terry, who's also in Arkansas. Hello, Terry.
Hey, I had a great night last night at the Razorback Road Show. I got to meet Coach Musselman, the gymnastics coach, Coach Weber, and she's getting married in 2 weeks, so everybody wish her a happy nuptials.
Oh, wow.
And everybody was great. But I'm calling, my question today is, I see that KJ finally got some recognition from ESPN, which I'm loving it. But I know his favorite player was Cam Newton. You know that guy. Well, the guy from Auburn. I have not pronounced his name right. What's his name?
Cameron Newton. Yes.
Yeah. I know that's his favorite player growing up, but he reminds me so much of the late Steve McNair because he's so hard to bring down. And the only people I hear really talking about him that much is on Fox, the little guy that does with the Colin Cowherd. They were talking about what a great deep ball he throws. I just think he's going to have a surprise, a good, great season this year, and I'm really excited for it. And I don't understand all these callers keeping up with everybody else's team. It's like that Hank Williams song. Mine and other people's business seem to be high tone. I got all that I can do just to mind my own. So just mind your own business and worry about your own team, and it'll all be gravy.
Is that Hank Senior that wrote that song, or is that Hank Junior?
I think that's Hank Junior, but I couldn't tell you because I'm not that big of a Hank Junior fan. But I'll quote him if I have to, if the situation's right.
Yeah, it's a good one. I used to know Hank Jr., so if I ever run into him again, I'll ask him to finish the song for me. Hey, thank you. We are heading to a break. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but we'll see you in a minute. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.